Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Wole, myself Wole, Will T, and Ray Jeezy, part of Empire Media. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Keim Report, hosted by ESPN Washington football team insider John Keim, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene.
This show can also be found on Podcast DC, the new local app with hundreds of options of local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire shows as well as other great content.
Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T.
Into our tradition of pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll recap the Washington football team defeating the Atlanta Falcons 34-30 and their upcoming game against the New Orleans Saints. Play-by-play voice of the Washington football team, Bram Weinstein, will join the show. At 8:25, we'll talk about the start of the Washington Wizards preseason. At 8:45, we'll preview Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder 3. Finally, we'll make our Week 5 NFL picks. But first, Ray.
Kyle picks, let's go right now. The voice of the Washington football team and founder of Empire Media, Mr. Bram Weinstein on the line. What's up, Bram? How you doing, brother?
What's up, guys? How are you?
We're doing good.
I guess we're good. Most of us are. Victory Monday for Washington fans.
I'll take it.
I know. For me, it's good.
So, Bram, let's jump right into it. It was a roller coaster ride for most Washington football team fans and those watching the game, as, of course, the Washington football team defeated the Atlanta Falcons 34-30 in a game in what Taylor Heinicke led the team down the field for a game-winning touchdown drive with a pass to J.D. McKissic. What were your thoughts and what was your reaction to just this game that was all over the place, highs and lows, and ultimately ended in a Washington victory?
I mean, felt like five games in one. I know we're going to talk about the defense because Everyone expects them to be better. So do I. But I'll say this, and I think it's just important to note this. You guys have been fans of this team for a long time. I've lived my life watching their games, growing up in this area. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long time since we had a quarterback who two times in the last 3 weeks brings his team back multiple times in the fourth quarter to win games. So I don't care how they got it done. I think that's a step. It's a step forward. They fight. They stick with it. Even if they're one side of the ball is not playing anywhere near to its potential, the other side's at least picking them up. And they're winning games. They're finding ways to win. Look, they're 2-2. So is Kansas City's 2-2. So I'll take this. I'll take it.
So you mentioned the defense. I guess let's get into it. What are the low moments of that football game? I'm guessing just the defense, right?
I mean, I don't get it, honestly. I really don't. I don't know. This isn't an effort problem. These guys are playing hard. I think there's a communication issue. I thought it would get fixed against Atlanta because if for no other reason, I just didn't like the way Atlanta was playing offense, but clearly it did not. I don't think it's any one particular position group. But that said, listen, I mean, they got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do here. And, I don't know if they need to make some changes on the back end of the secondary, if they need to get Cam Curl into his more natural position where he was making plays last year, or if it's just a communication issue between what the line's going to do up front to get more pressure, to where the linebackers need to be to fill in the gap, to the secondary of whether they're playing pressure off. I mean, there's just something off here, but I feel like, I feel like this is an NBA team. They're too talented. And at some point, it's going to click, and they're going to get better than this.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I just think that it has to get better. I mean, this is too much talent for this defense to play this way. You know, obviously the news dropped today that John Bostic's probably going to be out for the season, and Torrey McTyre is going to be out as well. Do you see, like, the linebacker, like, for the linebacker situation, like, Jamin Davis getting more burn?
Yes. I think Davis is going to play a lot. It was trending that way anyway, and that was the goal for him. I think it's been a little slow for him to kind of get incorporated into the defense. They've tried to bring him along slowly. He hasn't played probably as much as any of us expected. This is a tough loss with Bostic because this is probably the, you know, probably the weakest unit of their defense, so they really couldn't afford to lose a starter, but they did. So I think you're going to see a lot of Davis. I wouldn't be surprised if this week that they sign another veteran linebacker, if for no other reason for depth purposes. And it'll be something to watch throughout the year. But, you know, listen, I think Davis has gotten better through the first few weeks. I think he was swimming a little bit through the summer. And he's going to be trial by fire now. So hopefully he'll start to look like the first-round pick.
Okay, real quick, Graham. I want to ask, can we view this as a bright spot? And that's it. The first 3 weeks of the season, each opponent of the Washington football team, they marched down the field easily on their first drive and scored a touchdown. Atlanta actually goes down the field as well, but gets a field goal. That's a four-point difference from 3-7, and you win by 4 points. So can you consider that a win for the defense?
I'll take it. I'll take it. This dates back to last year. They were down early in every single game they played.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's something I want to – I'm going to talk to Ron Rivera in a couple of days. I really want to ask him about the slow starts because it's every week.
Uh-huh.
Every mm-hmm. single week the offense can't score. Every single week the defense gets the ball walked down the field on them. So I don't know what – are they predictable? Are they just not ready at the jump? I don't know. Like, something's not right about that.
So, Brent, one thing too, obviously, you know, we haven't talked about this as well, but the kicking situation, man. Like, come on, man. Like, are we really going to – and Coach Rivera just came out and stated that, you know, this is his kicker. This is his guy. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just want to get your opinions on it.
I think it's unacceptable to make two extra points.
Exactly.
So they did sign a kicker today to the practice squad. So
I know.
Not to the main roster. It is to the practice squad. Let's see how the week plays out. I don't know if we're in a final straw for Dustin Hopkins or if they're going to make a move this week, but, you know, I'll wait and see. And this can't continue, obviously. Uh-huh. I mean, like, I'm not breaking any news here. You can't keep missing extra points.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, like, at some point they're gonna force him into a change. And, you know, the hard part with this is Hopkins has the big NFL leg, the weapon on kickoffs. He can kick out of the end zone every single time. He's also someone that is extremely well-liked. Everybody really likes him. So nobody wants to cut him. I mean, that's part of the problem here. Like, nobody wants to do it. But he's putting himself in a position where it's a bottom line business. They were down 30-28 thanks to two missed extra points, and they were lucky they got a miracle at the end of the game to win. So eventually a choice is going to have to be made. I don't know if it's this week or next week or the week after, but Hopkins better not miss any more of those, that's for sure.
Yeah, who says nice guys finish last? Who says that?
I think it hurts when you got a great kicker right up the beltway, too.
that guy's
right. That's not fair, right? That's not fair. That's not fair.
He's spoken for.
I'm just saying, you know, a lot of comparisons are made from the team up the Beltway. That's what I'm gonna call it. I'm not gonna say the name right now, but Wole mentions how their defense is run, how the culture is different. You talk about it all the time. You can't help but compare. But
look, man, it's okay, man. Look, don't mention the name like I'm gonna keep saying it. Don't mention the name like Candyman. We good, man. You don't have to mention it multiple times. We're good.
All right, let's take a call for the call. You are listening to the Urban Sports Team, part of Empire Media, empiremedia.com. We're talking with play-by-play voice of the Washington football team, Bram Weinstein. All right, Bram, on to this Sunday. Washington takes on the New Orleans Saints. What are the keys for a victory for Washington?
I mean, here's another defensive stat that I think is crazy, is that this team with this much talent has caused two turnovers, and Jameis Winston is known for turning the ball over. So I would hope that this is the week that changes and they make a couple big game-changing plays. The defense starts to kind of redefine itself, gets a quarterback who is apt to make mistakes. I thought this was really telling last week about New Orleans. At home against the Giants, Alvin Kamara ran the ball more than Jameis Winston threw it. I can't ever remember a Sean Payton team running the ball as much as they did, especially with the Giants with so many injuries on both sides of the ball that they tried to slow a game down like that. That says to me, and I need to watch it because I don't know, but that says to me they're not confident in their quarterback right now, and they'd rather just put the ball in the hands of someone like Kamara who they trust. And if that's the case, I like our chances this weekend. And I do feel like, you know, we all know what the schedule looks like. It is hard. It feels like another must-win, that they've got to get this done so that if they are to lose to Kansas City or Tampa Bay or Green Bay, who are three of the opponents of the next 5 weeks, it's not going to be that big of a deal. I think they need to get this one in the bank badly.
So Brian, I do have a comment or a question. Don't you feel that you know, Jameis is looking at this offense, I mean, this defense, and like, is looking at this defense and saying to himself that I can get right playing this defense? Because I feel like every quarterback, when they see this defense, they're like, we can get right. I can have my Hall of Fame game today.
Yes. Until this defense proves otherwise, they should look at it that way. Like, this is, by last week, it was really interesting. I've seen all three Tampa Bay games this year, now all four, because of the reunion the other night. And by the end of the week last week, like, not only did I thought that Washington's defense would perform a lot better based mainly on Atlanta's inability to really move the ball very well, with the one exception against Tampa Bay. And I think one of the most underrated stories in the NFL right now is Tampa Bay's defense is not very good. And is playing just as porously as Washington's is. And nobody's talking about it yet. We'll see if it continues, but, you know, we'll see. And that's why I thought, because Atlanta did nothing against Philadelphia, nothing against New York, and then we're able to walk up and down the field on us. So that's a problem, right? That's more about us than it is about them. I'm with you. If I'm New Orleans, I look at Washington, I'm not scared of them until proven otherwise. And I'm just hanging on, winging a prayer here that at some point the talent here is going to take over and it's going to get better.
Yeah, hopefully. Hey, Bram, go ahead, Ray. Go ahead, Ray. Sorry.
My bad. One last question before we let you get out of here. Do you increase Curtis Samuel's role this week, considering I feel like he made a big difference in that Atlanta
game.
Just his presence on the field for Terry McLaurin, and of course the running backs as well, McKissick and Gibson.
I mean, the short answer to that is I don't know how comfortable the coaches are giving him kind of a full load of plays, mainly just because I know they were bringing him back slowly, and then he tweaked his groin, and the fact that he played I think was a really good first step. So I need to talk to the coaches to get a better answer to that. But you know, the other thing we don't really know about, De'Ami Brown got hurt last week. So did Cam Sims. They may need him to play a lot more than he did. And we'll find out, you know, we'll find out this weekend.
Well, Bram, appreciate you for being on, man. Thanks for being on, even though, you know, your schedule was a little tight. We do appreciate it. You have anything else you want to add before we let you go?
You guys are the best.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Bram.
You got that right.
The best for last.
All right,
boys.
All right, appreciate you. Again, it's Bram Weinstein. Make sure you check him out on Twitter. He's at Real Bram W. That's at Real Bram W. All right. Anything you all want to touch up on that he spoke about? Ray.
What's it?
Will. Will. Me, go, Will.
I think. No. For me, it's the workload for Curtis Samuel, like Ray said, you definitely could tell a difference when he was on the field, just how the defense had to adjust to him, had to play him and Terry McLaurin. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how, you know, when Washington utilized them, how do they utilize them? They utilize them out of the backfield, out of the slot, on some reverses, screens. Because he's one of those players that he's very dynamic with the ball in his hands, specifically in the open field. So,
Ray, what about you?
It's interesting. It's interesting how not only Bram, but the mass majority of individuals who watch this team, they always say, okay, a quarterback coming into a game versus Washington, this is their get-right game. Well, you basically said it for him.
Yeah.
That wasn't even a question. Like you said, it was a comment. Like you were saying, this is bound to happen. However, if I'm the coaching staff, and somebody mentioned it earlier this week, last season about this time is when Coach Ron got real about, okay, we can't win with Dwayne. We got to make a change.
Yeah.
And I see an opportunity here.
So it's time to get real now. I think this is the week where it's time to get real and make some adjustments. You made slight adjustments against Atlanta, which made Wole happy in the second quarter, but it wasn't necessarily enough because Atlanta still had their best offensive game of the year.
Yeah.
So this is the game because we already know Jameis. Jameis is not the most mentally tough guy. And if you are the Washington football team, if you're Jack Del Rio, you want to get in his head early. So one thing is, don't defer. Take the ball on offense first.
Thank you, bro. That's what I'm saying.
For a change.
Yeah.
And then get in Jameis's head, apply pressure, mix it up, bring your linebackers up, safety blitzes, corner blitzes, whatever you need to do in order to make him uncomfortable. Because he is going to come into this game confident. He wants to rebound because he knows he's filling in for a legend. He's taking the place of Drew Brees.
Facts.
And it's big shoes to fill. He's not 100% confident because he's not that guy. We saw all throughout his career at Florida State and in Tampa when he was going through legal issues. It messed with his play on the field. I would get in his head early, and I would start by not deferring and taking the ball and then getting ahead and making him have to be the guy to lead his team in a comeback versus allowing them to establish the run.
One thing I think
that Bram picked up on that we didn't talk about with regards to this matchup is Washington football team's linebacking core. The Saints have a dynamic player in Alvin Kamara.
Kamara
is a matchup problem for most linebackers and most safeties, but especially when you have a team whose weakest unit has had some injuries and hasn't had this strong play. This could be a week where Alvin Kamara terrorizes this defense.
I agree.
If they don't put the emphasis on stopping him,
that would mean
possibly double teaming him out of the backfield.
Yeah, I think they should double team him.
Putting him in a situation where he has to chip Montez Sweat and also Chase Young when he releases out of the backfield to run his route.
Yeah, I agree, Will. I think Kamara's the problem. He's a serious problem for this linebacker unit. Like, it's not the strong, it's the weakest unit on the defense, and this defense has already been trash, so it's the weakest unit on the defense. And you're looking at a guy who can catch the ball out the backfield, who can run between the tackles, which is explosive. So you got it. To me, this is the matchup that should be keeping Jack Del Rio up all night. Like, this is the matchup. And if I'm the coaching staff, I'm not letting that dude beat me. Like, I'm not letting him beat me. Everybody else, okay, whatever, but I'm not letting him beat me because that is the number one gun. There's a reason why I know Bram mentioned that, you know, Kamara gets a bunch of touches or a bunch of runs, but he should because he's the best player on the freaking field, right? He's the best player. Like, the best player should touch the football. So he should touch the football. So if I'm Washington, I'm trying to take him away. You know, because you don't have Malcolm. I don't know if Malcolm Thomas is going to play or not, but for over the last some odd weeks, you don't have Michael Thomas. So all you have is Kamara for real as a true offensive weapon, a proven offensive weapon. So if I'm Washington, I'm taking that away. And also, you know, New Orleans Saints, their run defense has been pretty good this whole season. So they're going to have to try. The Saints defense is solid. So if their offense, the Washington football team's offense, they're going to have to come up with a good game plan to put up points against the Saints, because the Saints defense isn't a joke either as well.
It isn't, and one thing that we have to pay attention to is with Brandon Sheriff, that injury.
Yeah, he's out two, three feet.
We all know that the Saints defense likes to be very aggressive with their blitz. So when they do blitz, how are they going to, you know, how is the offensive line, you know, because of the injuries, how will they pick up those blitzes, those delayed blitzes and those stunts?
Nah, all good points, man. All good points. So give me your prediction, man.
If there's been any bright spot, it's been offensive line. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, give me your prediction. Give me a prediction. Start with you, Ray. Go ahead, since you was already talking.
Oh, man. This is a tough one for me. Unfortunately, I'm going to go with the Saints on this one just because I believe they'll mix it up. Taysom Hill will get plenty of snaps, which will be a problem for the Washington football team. So I'm going to take the Saints, and I'm going to say it's going to be about a 10-point margin. So I'll go with Saints 24, Washington football team 14.
Will T.
I'm going to have to agree with Ray. I think the Saints, you know, we mentioned you have to take away Alvin Kamara.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do bring in Taysom Hill for those packages that he put, that for some of the packages that he's, that they have scripted out for him, how will Washington adjust? Now, we know that that front four, there's some speed specifically around on the edges with Sweat and Young.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's able to get past that first level and get into the linebackers in the secondary, you know, how will the defense handle corralling him and bringing him down?
Mm-hmm.
So just his presence on the field is a wild card to me that I don't think Washington will be able to stop. So I'm going with the Saints, 24-10.
Okay. I'm going to go with off just the regular fandom thing because it's not like this team is Buffalo. So I'm going to go with Washington just off the fandom thing. But it would probably I like 24. I like it in the 20s. I don't think anybody's scoring 30. I don't think they are, but if someone's scoring 30, it's going to be the Saints. I would say 24 Washington, Saints 20. All right, is that fair? That's fair, right? That's not bad.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Thank you.
I mean, you said it, we said it all week. The Washington football team has enough talent to compete with anyone. It's a matter of, as Brad just indicated, just bringing it all together. So they can beat anybody. So I wouldn't be shocked if Washington wins. I'm just not picking them this week.
Oh, man. So, all right, the Washington Wizards are playing the Houston Rockets in their first preseason game. We'll talk about what we want to see from the Wizards in the preseason after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces on Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Wole. All right, right now, the Washington Wizards are playing the Houston Rockets in their first preseason game. Ray Jeezy, what do you want to see from the Wizards tonight?
Yeah, shout out to all those who commented on Twitter in reference to this question as well. And a lot of people pointed out the obvious. And that's, we want to see all these new pieces that the Wizards brought. Mm-hmm. However, for me, I simply want to see how the Wizards play defense tonight. You now have a defensive-minded coach. And what's a better team to start out against other than the Houston Rockets? And the reason why I say that is because their young core players, Kevin Porter Jr., of course, Jalen Green, the second overall pick, Josh Christopher, who they got in the draft, the Houston Rockets, they have young, hungry players who are out here wanting to prove something. You got Christian Wood, who Will put the whole country on to a couple years back.
Sure did.
And he highlighted how big of an acquisition that was. Will T was the first person I ever heard say, man, Christian Wood can hoop, man. I think he's going to be a baller for
Houston. Facts.
Anyway, I'm showing my man some love. But what I'm saying is Houston's going to bring it in this first preseason game. So
Now you made the changes. No more Scott Brooks. There's been jokes about that on socials all day. Let's see what you do tonight. And what's crazy is, also, this is a team where you made a big trade with last year, and many in the media are saying that the Wizards won that trade. I think Houston has something to prove tonight, and the Wizards need to lock down, because now I don't want to hear the Brooks excuses. He's gone.
Will, what are you trying to see from this team?
Free John Wall.
Free John Wall? When you said free John Wall?
Free John Wall.
That's all you going to say?
That's what I'm going to say. Free John
Wall. Oh, man. What I want from the, like, well, go, Will.
It's too early for basketball, for real.
Hey, go ahead. It's not too early. I mean, you know, it's never too early for basketball for me. I'm choosing not to watch it tonight because there's an elimination playoff game.
Oh, the baseball?
So that's what I'm choosing to watch.
Okay, yeah. What's up, man?
But I'm interested to see with regards to Wes Unseld Jr., and I don't know if he would necessarily show this in the preseason. How is he going to align his defensive scheme to use the strength of Daniel Gafford and Thomas Bryant? Those are two guys who bring a skill set that Washington hasn't had consistently for a long time, and that skill set being shot blocking.
Uh-huh.
Right? Teams who usually have shot blockers, from a defensive perspective, they try to funnel things funnel things baseline sometimes. And funnel. So if you do beat your defender and you go to the basket, the shot blocker's right there to contest the basket. So I'm very interested to see Wes Unseld Jr.'s defensive scheme, and also see the players, see how they work from a defensive standpoint, how they work with regards to rotation against ball movement.
Yeah, I want to see the rookie from Gonzaga, see him comfortable. He's a kid that I like. I know a lot of Washington Wizards fans weren't really enamored with the pick. I like the pick because I watched him at Gonzaga. I thought he was a smart basketball player. He's a fit for this team. I mean, you're not looking for another guy to take shots away from Bradley Beal in terms of, you know, doing ISO plays. I mean, the ball can only go but to so many people if you're running that type of offense. So, I mean, he can get open, and he's athletic enough. I like a lot of people like clown his athleticism. Dude is very athletic, to be honest with you. So I just want to see what he can do. I just want to see him get comfortable. You know, in summer league, you can tell, like, initially, you know, you're always trying to prove yourself, and he was trying to prove himself, and he was kind of forcing shots. And also, he was working on things because in summer league, you're allowed to work on things. So they want you to be the guy, so you're trying to, like, force shots. But now you got to play in the confines of an actual basketball game and just play your role. And I think his role for this team in terms of his basketball IQ, his jumper, his athleticism, and, you know, having other dudes on the team, not just Bradley Beal, but you're having a Kyle Kuzma who could take the pressure off of you. I'm interested to see how he kind of looks with the whole unit. And I want to know, he's not going to start, right? He's going to come off the bench, I'm guessing, right, Ray? Christopher's coming off the bench, right?
Kispert is definitely coming off the bench, yeah. My brother. You know who's starting. KCP starting once the regular season comes around, but KCP's out tonight.
Okay. So,
and we don't know when Rui's coming back. Like, Rui must be going through it because he stopped following people on IG.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's trying to get right, which I totally respect. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Rui fan. You guys know that. But anyway, I don't think Kispert will be starting simply because KCP is an awesome defender.
Yeah.
And he deserves, and he can make open shots. He deserves to be in the starting line at the three.
At the three? He's a starting three. Oh, if it's Bill. So Kuz is playing the four? Or Kuz coming off the bench?
Well, we don't know yet. It depends on what happens with Rui. See, that's the thing. Unless Rui comes back, then the starting lineup is not going to be clear. Uh-huh. But of course, you know, it's Dinwiddie and Bill in the backcourt.
Uh-huh.
And the assumption is that KCP will be starting at the three based on what coach said. Uh-huh. And the Kispert starting in his place tonight.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. Well, I mean, would you say the Wizards are deeper than they've been in a while?
I think that's fair. Go ahead, Will.
I think that's a fair statement when you think of the pieces that they obtained during, you know, with the trade for Russell Westbrook.
Uh-huh.
You know, Montrezl Harrell, KCP, Kyle Kuzma. You know, those are three guys that, you know, they aren't going to, you know, no one's saying that those are guys that are going to change the fortune of this franchise automatically. But they are guys that provide depth
within this lineup, specifically comparing the lineup this year with those three guys this year versus last year's lineup.
Yeah, the only reason I asked that.
Yeah, they can beat by 10 right now.
Yeah, well, that's preseason. Lakers got smashed against Brooklyn. The only reason why I asked that question is because, like, when you're looking at their lineup now, it's like, okay, because you make a, I mean, Ray, it's a valid, it's a great point that, you know, KCP is starting. Because now it's like you got Kuz, the guy that, you know, he thought he was going to get the opportunity to be like a starter, and he could still start. I don't know. I mean, it could happen. Who knows? But he made him off the bench because of Rui. Like, you have Rui. So you are deeper, like, in a way. And you got your draft pick that you drafted as a lottery pick. It's probably going to come off the bench. So to me, it's like that's a good problem to have. Even Davis Bertans is on your team. You still have him on your roster. So it's a good problem to have.
And we're forgetting they still have Denny.
Yeah, Denny. See, yeah, thank you. Right, Denny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Denny. And then also, you're going to have Thomas Bryant come back eventually. So you have Gafford as your starter. And you're going to have Thomas Bryant eventually down the road. At the moment, as your backup center. So this may be a deeper team that we've seen the Wizards have in a long time. It may not be like you may only have like one true superstar or quasi superstar in Bradley Beal, but still, that's a deep team. Like, that team, if coached well, I think we all would say that, like, that's a talented roster, right? Not to say that's the most talent. It's not the talent, the most talented roster, but it's a talented roster.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that based on this team, probably the last 3 to 4 years, that the total makeup of their roster from 1 through 12, this is probably the deepest Wizards team we've seen in a while.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I'm not going to say that's necessarily going to translate to this team winning 42 games, being above 500. But I do think, like, from a talent perspective, individual talent, this is probably one of the deeper teams we've seen in a while, from 1 through 12.
And that's real talk.
All right, Ray. Yeah. Ray, what's the main storyline for the entire preseason for the Wizards?
Well, what's interesting is the easy answer for many is going to be Bradley Beal. Is he going to re-sign? Does he want to stay here? I think it's obvious that he wants to stay based on the fact that he turned down Russell Westbrook's urges to seek a trade. And secondly, he made comments, I want to say yesterday, where he mentioned, I want to lead this team to playoff wins. Like, he wants to be the main guy, and he won't be the main guy anywhere else but here in Washington. So the secondary story, and this is just me, the secondary storyline for me is, how do you validate these past two draft picks and Denny, as well as in Kispert, your first-round draft pick? Denny, you drafted him who seems like he has a ton of upside, but you passed on guys like Tyrese Halliburton, who, I mean, played like an absolute beast out there in Sacramento. And now Jalen Johnson, have y'all seen him out in Atlanta? He's looking really good, athletic, can run the floor. He was right there for the Wiz to take, but they go with somebody who they felt can bring shooting because the Wiz felt like they lacked perimeter shooting because Bertans was horrible last season, so they wanted to bring in reinforcements. But did they make a mistake? That's going to be the storyline this entire preseason, because Kispert has looked awesome in training camp by all indications, and now we got to see it against actual competition. And thus far, it's too early to judge because, like you said, all these new pieces. But still, he looks average right now in comparison to, you know, the guys he's playing against, one of who is a top two pick.
True. So on Twitter, my man Jess Blaze from the Above the Rim podcast said, will Bradley Beal, in terms of the main storyline, will Bradley Beal become the all-around player and vocal leader he needs to be for the Wizards to take the next step?
I think a better question is, how many games will Bradley Beal play this year?
Ooh. Right?
You can't play in New York. Can't play in, you only have one game in San Francisco. You know, how many games will he play if he, you know, barring.
Oh, fit, got you. Right?
Because there is the COVID contact protocol. So how many games will Bradley Beal be able to suit up for this year? That's an interesting question that I think no one's really touched on.
Yeah, I mean, this is supposed
and
to
the
be.
Games he misses.
Yeah. No, but will.
In the games he misses, if this team doesn't make the playoffs, you know,
when we look back on the season, and let's say, knock on wood, I hope this doesn't happen, let's say Bradley Beal misses 7 games just due to contact tracing or COVID-19 protocol. 7 games, and this team ends up not making it within the top 10 to qualify for, you know, the play-in, the play-in for the playoffs. How will we, you know, how will the fans and how will ownership look about this? Think about this.
That's a tough one, man. Like,
you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media, empiremedia.com. My bad, Wole. Just by the way, Kyle Kuzma did get to start at the 4 tonight.
Okay.
But again, that's because Rui is not playing.
No, you're fine, Ray. I wanted to read the homie Cameron's tweet. Cameron tweeted us at the in terms of storyline for the preseason. It's the new additions to the team. But yeah, those are all good points. I mean, I guess it's hard, right? That's a hard role, just because of what he believes in and whatnot. So I'm not going to talk about the politics in terms of vaccinated or not, whatever. But I will say that, you know, it's his team and he's the leader of the team, right? And he misses games. It's tough because it's your beliefs and then also it's your responsibility to your teammates, right? So it's a tough situation to be in if you're Bradley Beal. But I think you have a valid point, though, Will, when you're talking about his availability. It's a valid point.
Peep to this, and I know we cover the Wizards. We're in the DMV, right?
Mm-hmm.
But y'all know the bigger story from overall NBA standpoint is Kyrie Irving.
Facts. Yeah.
He plays basketball in the state of New York, right?
Yeah.
And what's crazy is it's looking like he may not just miss games there at home. Then when he travels to California, he can't play there either.
Yeah.
So I think Bradley Beal is flying under the radar simply because Kyrie Irving is the bigger name. The Brooklyn Nets are obviously the more polarizing team. And this is a team you had success against last season. So hopefully the Wizards can creep up on some folks this year with all the acquisitions. But, yeah, one storyline I think Will kind of hit it on the head because that wasn't even part of my thought process.
Me either, bro.
As that question was asked. So I think that's dope.
You know what I'm saying? I agree, man. I didn't even think about that. I think it's a very good question. Because you're supposed to – this is supposed to be Bradley Beal's – like when Ray started, like Beal wants to bring a championship to this team. He wants to do all of these things. But just because of the current climate, it's going to be kind of difficult if you're not going to be available, you know, be available, because the most important thing in, you know, in any sport is the availability of a player, especially a star player. So – it's tough, man. It's tough. And then also, you know, say, and it's always, it can always have a negative look, right? So say he misses games and this team is winning all the games or winning most of the games he's out. And when he's on the floor, say they're not playing as well. Then you can have that type of narrative. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot to be had with just because of, yeah, our current environment of what goes on with COVID. So it's different. It's going to be tough for Bradley Beal, man. It really is. This is a tough one to kind of navigate through.
I have one more thought to add or question for you guys real quick because I'm seeing something interesting. Remember last season we always scratch our head at Scott Brooks' rotation?
Yeah.
Well, this season, well, maybe y'all didn't. I did. Wole ain't got no hair to scratch, so I get it.
Fact. Wow. That's what we're doing. Wow.
Here's the thing. Aaron Holiday comes in pretty early tonight with Spencer Dinwiddie, right?
Yeah.
I want to say he played 3 minutes or less, and then Neto comes in at point guard. What the heck is the rotation going to look like with all these guys that we're talking about? Somebody's going to have to get traded.
You know you like Neto, man. That's your guy.
That's an interesting observation, Ray. You know, typically, because we know for a fact, and I don't know what Wes Unseld Jr.'s belief is on with regards to rotation and how many guys he wants to play. You know, we see some coaches like Steve Kerr doesn't mind going deeper to his bench playing 10 players. You know, we stated earlier that this may be one of the deeper Wizards teams. How many guys are going to be in a rotation? Will he go with an 8-man rotation? Will he go with a 9-man rotation?
Uh-huh.
You know, with guys getting upwards of 20 minutes a game. So it'll be interesting to see. That's one more thing for us to keep be on the lookout for. But You did mention something interesting, Ray, outside of along with your point, and that is a possible trade for this organization, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the, you know, you have three guys who were on a championship squad, in Kuzma, KCP, and Montrezl Harrell. As we get later into the season and the team start to make that push for the playoffs, and if the Wizards aren't in the playoff run, do they start to offload some of those contracts to teams that are in the playoff run and looking for some veterans who have championship experience?
Well, I do have a question. So do you think this team is, just want your overall opinions, is this team a playoff team? And if so, what's the cap? Are they a 4, 5, 6, 7 eight seed, or what are they?
Ray, you want to take it first, or you want me to go?
Go ahead, brother. You got it.
Well, they're 10. I mean, 10 teams that qualify,
uh-huh.
Right? With the last 4 teams playing qualify for the play-in. I think the Wizards are, just going to be honest, one of those teams that qualify for the play-in.
Okay.
Okay. And let's go through it. You got Brooklyn. You got Milwaukee.
It's tough.
You have Miami.
Yeah.
You have Chicago.
They look better. They do look better.
You have Charlotte.
Chicago?
You don't like Charlotte? You don't like Chicago's mom?
Yeah, Chicago.
They got LaVine, DeRozan, and Ball. That's what I'm saying. I'm not knocking it. I think the Wizards could be high. For us right now, to just be real, the unknown is the head coach for the Wizards. Let's just keep it a buck. The unknown is Wes Unseld Jr. But we're telling me that you have you got two scorers in wing and a point guard that can give them the ball. Yeah, on paper, that's all we can go off of right now. Like, yeah, I can say that off
and
that alone.
And you have a big.
Yeah, and what's his name? From the Magic. Yeah.
Vujicic.
That's a tough squad, bro. That's a real tough. That's a squad that should real talk should be a four for real. They're better than Boston, and I like Boston. They're better than Boston off talent.
And I haven't even mentioned Boston. I haven't even mentioned Charlotte and Indiana.
Yeah, Charlotte's like other than me, but
or
yeah.
Atlanta. Did you mention Atlanta?
Yeah, you better mention Atlanta. Atlanta, real, bro. I think New York gonna fall a little bit. I ain't gonna lie. I think New York gonna fall a little bit, but that's just me. I think they're gonna fall a little bit.
I think New York falls back to the pack a little bit.
Yeah.
I wasn't that overly impressed with their off season.
Yeah. I think the Wizards can compete with New York. Man. Huh? What you say, Ray?
I wanna see how Brooklyn turns out. I like their team, but last year the main guys were not able to play together. Kyrie, who I just mentioned him.
Yeah,
what's gonna happen with him? Is he
facts.
Gonna be on the floor? You know, there's always injuries, but then COVID just adds a whole nother element. I like the changes, like you guys mentioned with Chicago. I just want to see it first.
Uh-huh.
And the same could be said for the Wizards, so
yeah.
I got to respect where you guys are coming from. Same thing with Miami. Miami did look good in their
They do.
Season,
yeah, they look good.
Which, does that count? Because we're saying the Wizards, oh, it don't matter.
It don't, no, it don't matter. I don't think it matters.
It can't go both ways.
No, bro, I don't think it matters, though. Don't get twisted. I like Miami's. I like Miami signings. I think it's a good fit. Like their signings fit their culture. That's why I like. It's just I don't get like. I think certain players get too much credit in Miami, but I'm not going here or there. But I do agree that they have a fit. Like they sign players or bring in players who are high quality players in terms of talent, and they fit the culture. So I'm cool with. That's why I think Miami's gonna be all right.
No, I'm just saying they look good in their first preseason
game. Oh, I ain't watched their first preseason game. I don't know what they did in their first preseason game.
He looked like he fit in well. I mean, he hit some open shots. He had command of the offense. P.J. Tucker on defense.
Yeah.
And he hit that vintage corner three.
On I hate that three.
Larry in the first quarter when they got the burn. So, yeah, I'm feeling what they look like in this first game. I'm just saying that you mentioned earlier it was preseason, don't matter. So, I don't know if I want to put too much stock into it, but it's okay with saying somebody look good. But if somebody looks bad in preseason, we kind of dismiss it. So,
facts.
You know, I guess it doesn't matter. But anywho, you guys are right in terms of we need to see what these changes will look like. And it's going to take a while to build cohesion. So
yeah.
The Wiz may get off to a slow start. Play-in is definitely reasonable. And maybe I'm a homer like Willie is with his football team.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to be homers, bro. I do see the talent, though. And if Wes Unseld Jr. is like – But dude's name in Denver, Malone. I think it's Malone in Denver. That's his name. If he's like him, Mike Malone. Oh yeah, then they if he's similar to him, oh, the Wizards will be fine. Like, they will be a playoff team. I can easily say that. But if he's not, if he's a little bit, if he's not like him, and he's going to find his struggles, then you know that's what it is. What it is. But if he's similar to Malone in terms of how he can inspire his players and, you know, get them prepared. Oh yeah, the Wizards got a fine, and they can definitely do damage in the East.
Cool.
All right, man. So, hey, Fury Wilder 3 goes down this Saturday. We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
The Agent.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces. Right. On Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Wole, part of Empire Media. And you can find us at Empire Media by going to www.empiremedia.com.
He gave us the good old-fashioned WW.
Yeah, the WW. I just thought time,
all
bro.
Good job, fellas. We'll just... Just as Wole alluded to prior to the break, Tyson Fury will defend his WBC heavyweight championship against Deontay Wilder at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Fellas, what do you expect to happen in this fight? We'll see.
I don't have any expectation, to be honest with you.
Ooh.
Here's why. The biggest wild card in this has been and always will be Tyson Fury. Right. We know that Tyson Fury in the past has struggled with some mental issues. Not that, you know, his mental illness is something that, you know, there should be a knock against him, but what Tyson Fury will we get coming into the ring? Will this be the Tyson Fury that's going for the knockout like he did in the second fight? Will this be the Tyson Fury who chooses to try to outbox Deontay Wilder? And the biggest, and also another caveat to this is, Tyson Fury had COVID-19. How will that affect his conditioning? How will that affect his ability to move around the ring and box against Deontay Wilder? Because to me, just based off everything we know about this, about COVID-19, it tends to affect your lungs. Now, as the fight goes on longer and longer and longer, and if Tyson Fury fights his typical style, which is fighting at an angle, bending at the waist, rolling his shoulders, moving around the ring, how will the fatigue start to set in earlier for him, and will that create opportunities for Deontay Wilder to land that big right hand and possibly get Tyson Fury out of there? So that's why I said there's, you know, I don't have any expectations because I really don't know what to expect. And then also, not only that, you look at from Deontay Wilder's side. He has a new trainer, has a new motivation. He has things that he, you know, just from watching some of the clips that he's posted on the internet, some things from a technical standpoint that he's worked on that it doesn't look like he worked on previously when he was in the ring. Specifically, when, you know, landing those punches and then rotating out of the way so he's not standing in front of his opponent after he lands a big shot. Will he be able to utilize those things in the ring on Saturday in Las Vegas? I don't know. So that's why I'm saying I don't have any expectation. I don't know what to expect out of these two gentlemen this Saturday in Vegas for the World Championship, Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, like, what you just mentioned about, you know, all the clips that has come out of Deontay Wilder's camp about, you know, his new training regimen and whatnot. But I think we talked about this before on another show, but when he gets into the ring and he gets hit, do you think all that gets erased? Like what he worked on? Because, you know, we're all creatures of habit. Like, it's cool when it's, we'll yeah, go yeah, about I, starting I, it. But, go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike Tyson has the famous line, every man has a plan until he gets hit.
Yeah.
Right? So will Deontay Wilder revert back to what he knows?
Exactly.
Which is standing toe-to-toe on the inside with you, trying to land bombs, throwing some wider punches, particularly wide right hand, overhand right against Tyson Fury? Or will he fight a more disciplined fight, right behind his jab, work his way in and pick his shot when he's pick his opportunities when he's on the inside to go to Tyson Fury's body, right? If Tyson Fury had COVID, well, he did have COVID. I'm not gonna say if he had COVID.
Uh-huh.
Tyson Fury have had COVID. How will those body shots affect him? From Deontay Wilder, we all know Deontay Wilder has that one hitter quitter power.
Uh-huh.
How will those body shots affect him, on the inside when Deontay Wilder is able to land? Will Tyson Fury be able to recuperate fast, like he did in the first fight and the second fight when Deontay Wilder lands a big shot to the body? These are all unknowns. These are things we don't know. That's why I'm saying that's what makes this third fight so interesting. There are far more unknowns. The easy thing for anyone to say is Tyson Fury totally outclassed Deontay Wilder in the second fight, and he's going to do the second thing, and he's going to do the exact same thing in the third fight. We don't know that just because based off of Tyson Fury's health and also Deontay Wilder, him changing up everything coming into this third fight. And we know that most of the time when fighters change up everything headed into a big fight, there's this there's an added level of adrenaline that often helps them break out of that stick, that dogma,
uh-huh.
or break out of that routine, and it could potentially take them over the top. So I'm just interested in seeing this fight because, I don't know what to expect.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media. That's AmpireMedia.com. All right, so if Fury wins, what's next for him, Will T?
What's next for him?
If he wins, yes. If he wins.
You would hope. Yeah, if he wins, what you try to do is you try to, sit on the sideline and see when, who's the winner of the Anthony Joshua and Alexander Usyk fight rematch, right? And then you try to unite all three titles. I don't know if their fight, if their rematch, if there's a clause for another rematch.
I think there is. I think there is a clause. There's like a two-fight clause. I think so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so then if you're Tyson Fury, you have to ask yourself, okay, who's the next best fighter out there for me to fight in the heavyweight that will bring, that would elicit a big purse or that would keep him rightfully motivated for, that fight against the winner of Usyk and Anthony Joshua. So, we could realistically see Tyson Fury on the, on the shelf for another six or seven months, Will he go after Dillian Whyte? Will he decide to fight a guy like Andy Ruiz Jr.? Those are two guys that could potentially keep him, that can give him some go and give him the opportunity to stay sharp.
Very interesting, because if I'm Tyson Fury, I'm definitely waiting to see what happens with that Usyk fight, that next Usyk fight against Joshua. because he saw AJ in that reception he got in the UK. He saw that spectacle like we all did, AJ and fire. Tyson Fury is a showman. I know that Tyson Fury wants that, and he wants to be at home in his next fight. So I'm sure that's what he's eyeing. He's going to fight in the UK, and he wants the winner of that next bout between those guys. So to me, that's the only fight that makes sense. And Tyson Fury defeat Deontay Wilder on Saturday.
Nah, I'm with you.
So, guys, on the flip side, oh, my bad.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. That's
on
it.
On the flip side, what would a Wilder win do for his career? Because you know if he wins, it's going to be by knockout. Will he be considered the greatest knockout puncher of all time? I mean, what, 41 knockout wins at this point? So, what does a win for Deontay Wilder mean for his career?
Like, does he fight Fury again if he wins? I guess that's my thing. What he does? Do they do four?
No, the only way I think they do four is if Wilder wins a heavily disputed decision.
Okay.
Then it could possibly make sense for you, right? It would make sense from a financial standpoint, but. If Wilder goes in there and, you know, he wins by knockout or he wins by a lopsided decision, it doesn't make sense for you to fight a fourth time. It just doesn't. What you do is you sit on the sideline and you wait and you let Alexander Usyk and Anthony Joshua figure their thing out.
Agreed.
And you stay busy. You take a couple of, stay busy fights. But I think what it does for his career, it takes some of the stink off of that knockout in the second.
That's what I'm saying. Second fight. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So is that forgotten?
Also shows that Deontay Wilder is a guy who's adaptable, right? To a different style. Because Tyson Fury is he's probably the most technically astute heavyweight boxer in the division right now.
Agreed. No, I agree.
So if you go in and you get a win against Tyson Fury, and especially if you look impressive, it takes the stink off of that first loss to Tyson Fury.
Sorry, let's jump.
Tell you from a gambling standpoint, yeah,
go ahead.
That's the man. You pick Deontay Wilder, you put a nice amount of money down, you're gonna win some money,
get some bread, some nobody cash, some money. Cash, bro. Hey, let's go right to our picks. You know, I mean, we're gonna skip the break. After week four, here are our records in the football garbage time urban sports scene pick'em challenge. Ray is 43-21. Will and I are 40-24, and here are our standings in the challenge. Ray is in first place. Will Hakun Wong from the Football Garbage Time podcast, and I are tied for second place. You can also check out our standings and picks on the Football Garbage Time website, www.footballgarbagetime.com. You can check out the Football Garbage Time podcast and all things NFL football there. All right, here are our picks. Let's go with the first game: Rams Seahawks. We're going to start with first place, Ray.
I'll take the Rams.
All right. Will T.
Disclaimer. These may or may not be my
This dude is something else, bro.
Having said that, I am going to go with the Rams.
Yeah, we're all three going with the Rams. Jets, Falcons. I'm going with the Falcons. Will T., what's your disclaimer?
I'm going with the Jets.
All right. Ray Jeezy.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the Jets. The Falcons never do good when I pick them. Plus in London. Fury can't even fight in London, but the Falcons are playing.
Hey, our Packers, Bengals, Ray.
I'm going to take Green Bay.
All right, Will T.
I actually think this is going to be a competitive game.
Me too.
It is.
Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Bengals. Lions versus the Vikings. I'm gonna go with the Vikings. Are all of us going with the Vikings? Because these are the Lions. Or
yeah, I picked the Lions last week. I'm going with the Vikings.
Broncos, Steelers. I'm going with the Steelers. Will T.
The Steelers look done with Big Ben under center. I'm going with the Broncos.
Ray.
Oh, heck no. I'm taking Pittsburgh at home, man. With Drew Lock? Oh.
Dolphins, Buccaneers. Ray.
Will T ain't going to keep that pick.
I know he ain't. I don't believe it. Hey, Buccaneers.
we got Tampa.
We all got Tampa, right? We all got Tampa?
Yep.
All right, cool. All right, Saints, Washington, we already did that. Eagles, Panthers. I'm going to go with the Panthers. I'm going with the Panthers. Ray, I'm sorry. That's on me. Ray.
Same here, Tom.
All right, Will T.
I'm going with the Eagles.
All right.
I'm
going with the Eagles. Cool. All right, Titans versus the Jaguars. I'm going with the Titans. Will.
Of course I'm going with the Titans. Jaguars.
Oh, everybody going with Titans? I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Everybody going with the Titans?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I apologize. Patriots, Texans. Is everybody going with the Patriots or somebody wants to go a different route?
Going with the Patriots.
Taking the Patriots.
Right, everybody has the Patriots. Bears, Raiders. I'm going to go with the Bears. Who? Will T. So my bad. Will T.
I'm going to go with the Raiders.
I got Vegas bouncing back Vegas at home.
All right, Browns, Chargers.
After Deontay Wilder scores the upset, it's going to be crazy in Vegas.
Oh, man, Browns, Chargers. I'm going with the Chargers. Will T.
The Chargers, too. They look like a sneaky Super Bowl pick.
Ray, how do you do?
Chargers.
All right. Giants, Cowboys. I'm actually going to pick the Cowboys. I'm picking the Cowboys. Ray, I'm sorry. I just can't do it. Ray.
Everybody got a Cowboys.
Everybody got the Cowboys? Yeah, I think it is what it is. I can't even fool myself. Yeah. I can't do it. We're playing for pride now. Like, I can't do that. Niners versus the Cardinals. Give me the Cardinals. Will. Mm-hmm.
Give me the Niners.
Ray.
I got the Cardinals.
Bills, Chiefs.
Cardinals. That San Fran defense is not good.
Ain't looking good right now, I know. Bills and Chiefs. Give me the Bills, Ray.
I love this matchup. Oh, go ahead.
No, we'll go first, bro, because you love this matchup. Will you go?
Oh, I'm going with the Chiefs. I'm going with the Chiefs.
All right. Ray.
Yeah, I'm going with the Chiefs, too.
All right, I got the Bills. I got the Bills.
I'm going with the Chiefs.
All right, Colts and Ravens. Do we all got the Ravens? I mean, no, actually, I don't got the Ravens. Who you got, Will?
I got the Ravens at home.
Ray, so y'all both got Ravens? I got the Colts. I go with the upset. I'm cool with that. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amplifier Media at amplifiermedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire Media shows, as well as other great content. Hey, we appreciate you all for listening to the show. Y'all take it easy. Y'all stay blessed. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.